Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. When the Heisman Trophy is awarded December 8th to the nation's best college football player, the sports world will look back fondly on the past recipients and their stellar careers, and then begin looking forward to the bowl season with anticipation. But it's safe to say most sports fans, despite their interest in the Heisman horse race, haven't given much thought to the award's namesake. After growing up in a German family in Pennsylvania, John Heisman played football in the early days of the sport at Brown and Penn, and then embarked on a varied and influential coaching career. Over the better part of three decades, Heisman coached football at colleges like Oberlin, Clemson, Auburn, Penn, Rice, and Georgia Tech, where he also coached basketball and baseball. A classical actor off the field, Heisman's influences on the game of football are still seen today, more than 120 years after he first became a head coach. And since 1936, the trophy given annually to college's best player bears his name, ensuring that the Heisman legacy continues. Heisman's grandnephew, John Heisman, is the keeper of the family's flame and the author of a new biography called Heisman, The Man Behind the Trophy, which is published by Simon & Schuster. John Heisman, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
As you researched the life of your great uncle, what did you learn about him? What surprised you as you researched this book?
I think that the thing that stood out to me is that he was an entrepreneur, someone who tried a number of things along the way, trying to make his own family fortune. And I think that what stood out was that he wasn't afraid to try a variety of things.
What were some of those things he tried on the way?
Well, one of the things he tried was to grow tomatoes, to have a tomato cash crop out in Texas. But it was something that he failed at miserably. But the thing was, he was looking to do what a lot of people did then, when we were more of an agrarian society. He leased some land and tried to grow tomatoes.
And how did his upbringing and his family life sort of influence the life he would go on to lead in coaching and just as a family man?
His upbringing was that of hard work and hard play. But he also had a father who lived in a rough and tumble lifestyle. He worked hard, he played hard, and he was a bit of a sporting man. He wasn't afraid to get out a deck of cards and settle a dispute by cutting cards or doing something like that. It sort of gave way to Heisman's sporting nature, his determination and the competition that he thrived on.
So how did he then make the jump from a college player to college coach? And today's game, most of the time, coaches are years older. They work their ways up through the ranks. But he began almost immediately after his playing career.
Coaching was a rogue occupation. It was not considered an honorable profession. There were not many people that knew anything about football. It was in its infancy developmentally. And as he came out, one of the things that was hindering him was his eyesight had been strained in a freak accident, and he was not able to perform the duties that his chosen profession, that was being an attorney, the reading demanded of an attorney. So he was looking for something to do. His former coach, a gentleman by the name of Wagenhurst, got wind of a position where people were looking for someone to coach athletics at a college and said, you should look up John Heisman. He knows the game as well as anybody. And that was Oberlin College in Ohio. And they contacted him, and it was a fit. And so he began his duties there in his first job as an athletic director and football coach.
Was he particularly drawn to football over the other sports? I mean, he did, of course, coach basketball and baseball, but was he more suited to being a football coach because he'd played the game, or what made him so good at it?
He saw football as just the ultimate chess match. There were more ways to devise strategies, and there were more ways to break things down scientifically. He had a very analytic mind, had the ability to see means of exploiting the other teams, and I think that it appealed to him is because of the intricacies and the ways that football can be devised, and that appealed to him a great deal. When he looked at football, he saw something that was more defined and had greater greater application for the things he could bring to bear on it.
Why did he move around from school to school as much as he did as a football coach?
Moving around, I think, was just a matter of survival. He, at the time, you did not have a profession in coaching that was well-defined, was not a thing that it is now where you get long contracts. I mean, you signed up for a year, you stayed there, you put in your time. They liked you, you stayed. If there was some sort of disagreement, you went. Coaches were not considered essential essential to any college operation. He was in demand, though, by several schools, at least right away, with Oberlin and Bucktel, which is now Akron. Both schools liked him so much that even during his second season coaching at Akron, both schools agreed that they would share him. Later in the season, Oberlin went west to play Chicago and Illinois, and they were able to pick up and pay Heisman to come with them, and Bucktel allowed that to happen. It's something we would not even think of today.
You have a list in the book of some of the innovations he brought to football. It's pretty long, and many of them are still in place today. So what were some of the updates that he brought to the game of football or helped champion?
I think the most prevalent one was the center snap, just starting a play on by hiking the ball. And that came out of necessity because at Bucktel he had a very tall quarterback that couldn't bend over and pick up a ball off the ground to start the plays on time. And Heisman, in his frustration, just looked at it and said, just throw the ball up to him because he can't bend over. And they did so, and he saw immediately that it just started things so much quicker and with greater finesse. By the following year, everybody was doing the same thing. That one changed the nature of the game and made it a much faster game and a much more defined game. His long lateral passes, shifts, were things that anybody would do at some point or another, but I think his safety measures with getting the game divided up into quarters, allowing the captains to assess his teams better, things like that. It had some very pronounced effects on the game. Legislating for the forward pass to make the game less brutal was one of the things he was most noted for. Getting a scoreboard, just putting a boy on a ladder with a chalkboard to let people know what the scores were. Very small things, but it kept people from wandering on the fields to ask the players what the score was. And that happened very often. But back then, it was a game played in the pasture with people milling around all the time.
And lastly, how did his name get on the trophy? The first year it was awarded in New York City, it was not the Heisman Trophy yet. But how did that happen?
Yes, you're right. It's the Downtown Athletic Club Award, something that Heisman did not really want to create. He was asked to by the Board of Governors at the Downtown Athletic Club in New York City. And he finally capitulated and did so. And it was awarded to Jay Berwanger from the University of Chicago. The following year, Heisman was taking Saturday and playing a game of golf with some friends. It was a brisk October day, and he caught a cold. And as he continued his Spartan-like regime, taking cold showers and things like that, it worsened, and the cold went into pneumonia, and it was only a few months before the advent of penicillin to the public that he finally succumbed to pneumonia and passed away. At that time, the officers of the club convened and voted unanimously to rename the award the Heisman Memorial Trophy, and that's how it came to be.
We've been speaking with John M. Heisman, the grandnephew of John Heisman, the coach and the namesake of the Heisman Trophy, which will be awarded December 8th. He's the author of a new biography called Heisman, the Man Behind the Trophy, which is published by Simon & Schuster. John Heisman, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.